It's 8:07 on your Monday morning, May 2nd. Good morning, Kay Winkleman.
Good morning, Chris Berg. Happy May 2nd.
That's right.
Oh, well, it's May Day.
We missed May Day here on the morning show, but at least we have some decent weather on the horizon. Got to wait till this next weekend, but hey, that's all right. Well, it is the first Monday of the month. It is a Mayor Monday. We have Charles City Mayor Dean Andrews in studio. Good morning, Dean.
Good morning. I'm looking for that horizon. But.
Yeah, well, we've been looking for that for the past, like, what, 3 months now? But eventually it's going to show up. It's either that or we're just going to get bam right into summer, which would be nice,
would
too.
Would be okay, too, wouldn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah. So, well, lots of things to talk about, of course. What do you got for us?
Well, you know, we're in the midst of spring cleanup. A little different format this year, but I think it's going pretty well. I haven't really talked to anybody out at the Shaw Avenue, but I drive by every once in a while because it's kind of in my neighborhood, I guess you'd say, sort of. But it's amazing. I mean, there's usually cars there. You know, some people say, oh, that'll be terrible. There'll be a line of cars all the way back to Clark Street. Well, it's not nearly that bad. So. And I think the reason is, we have such a long period of time. It started last Thursday and goes until this Saturday. So you still have plenty of time to get your truckload of junk out to the junk pile. And that's what we're asking everybody to do, is bring one truckload, pickup truck or trailer or whatever. You are supposed to show your some evidence that you are a city resident, a piece of mail or something that has your address on it. But I think it's been going pretty well. We do still have the option that people that just, you know, don't have access to a trailer or a truck, or you know, can't pick up heavy things and move them, that you can call City Hall, and we have the Lions Club and the Rotary Club lined up this week, along with some high school students, to help people that don't have the ability to get their stuff out to Shaw Avenue, that they will come pick it up for you free of charge. So it's kind of a nice transition option that we're having here, that these service clubs are stepping up and kind of helping as well as the high school kids. I think part of the high school kids attraction is it's during school time, so.
Oh sure. And they probably get silver cord hours.
I would guess. Yeah. And then we do have a separate section for metal, that if you are taking metal out, you can put it in the metal pile, and then the service, and then we'll turn that in for recycling, and any money that we get from that metal will be divided amongst the two service clubs that are helping us out. So just a little bit of payback for them for their service, during this week. So yeah, you have till Saturday's the last day, so you still got 5 days to do it. So get your stuff out there, and I think it's been working pretty well as far as I can tell.
Plus, for the first time, I think, ever, you're accepting tires, too, aren't you?
Yes, 4 tires per residence, just car tires. You can't bring out a big tractor tire that used to be your sand pile in the backyard, but you can't. And I did see, as I drove by the other day, I saw one dumpster pretty much full of tires out there. So, that's another option that people have this year, so.
Good deal. Getting the town cleaned up just in time for spring.
Yeah, good deal.
Well, we have a switching topics here. I want to just talk about our park and rec department. They've been busy, or they're going to be busy here lately. They had a strategic planning session about a month or two ago, and kind of set out kind of a 5-year plan. And they have at least three big things that are going on right now: the swimming pool, the Wildwood Clubhouse, and a new skate park. So I'm sure you've heard bits and pieces of all of those, but what they've done with the swimming pool is they just this last month have sent out a request for proposals to companies that come in and help you design, figure out what you need for a swimming pool, do some public education in the community. And so they sent out that request, and then their hope is that they'll have, several handful of companies that will come back and say, yeah, we'd like to do that process. And then they will pick one of those companies, and they'll come in. They say the best time to look at your current pool as far as the quality of your pool is at the end of the season, when they just empty the water out. And so that'll be step one, is come in and look at our pool, see, how what state is it in? Is it something that, oh yeah, with a, you know, a couple hundred thousand, maybe you could fix up your pool and it'd be fine for several more years, where they might say, you know, this pool is just really has too many things wrong with it that by the time you fix it up, you might as well build a new pool. So, but that will be, you know, kind of decided amongst this company with their help, I should say. So then once they make a decision, then they will also help to gather input for the community. What, you know, what does the community want for amenities in the pool? How big of a pool do we need for this size of a community? Another question is, where should the pool be? Should it still be at Lions Field, or is there a better location that's more centrally located? So a lot of things that will be discussed once the pool season is over, and then make a decision as far as how we go forward with that. So it's not a done deal that we're going to have a new pool, but it's not, that's an option, I guess. So that's why we have, you know, companies like this that have the expertise that have built pools all over the Midwest, and they can give you some really good information.
That's right. You got to start somewhere.
Absolutely.
So then the next step is the Wildwood Clubhouse, and on their strategic planning, they said, you know, this next year they want to evaluate the clubhouse. And so they had their meeting, the park board did, out at the Wildwood Clubhouse last month. And they had Brian Young, who, if you know Brian Young, is pretty knowledgeable in construction and what works, what doesn't. He and his dad, Dick Young, used to be really big into historic structures. And so Brian is very aware of that too. But he came out and showed the park board what was deteriorating, I guess you would say, at the Wildwood Clubhouse. And, you know, the initial step about a year ago is, well, it needs new siding. Let's put new siding on it. Well, then they contacted Brian to do that. He said, you know, well, yeah, I could put new siding on it, but the rest of the building is not very worth much either. So if you put new siding, it's kind of throwing good money after bad. So and if you've ever been out to that clubhouse, the siding you see on the outside of the building is also the walls you see on the inside of the building. There's just one layer of material there, and that's the siding, but it's also the inside wall. So there's not much to that building, and it doesn't have a foundation. It's built on some, there were some like pile or footings put in that were wooden footings, and they're pretty much rotting. And so that's why the clubhouse is showing some signs of shifting. And so that's the big problem is, you know, we could fix the siding, you know, do all that, but you're putting it on a building that has very questionable foundation. And so some people say, well, let's just lift the building up, you know, like they did at the depot up here, and we'll lift it up and we'll put a new foundation and we'll be all good to go again. But the difference is that depot was a very sound building. When the guys that move buildings come in and look, they say, oh yeah, we can move this because this is a really structurally sound building. Not so much for the Wildwood Clubhouse. If you tried to lift that up, it probably would just crumble. And so the park boards are trying to decide, you know, what direction do they want to go. I think they were very interested in trying to save a historic building until they got to looking at the state that really is in. And then, you know, it's like, yeah, we'd really love to save this building, but I don't know if we can. And so that decision hasn't been made for sure, but I think that's kind of the direction we'll be leaning. But again, that'll be decided. And then the question is, you know, what do you do for a new clubhouse? Do you build a nice clubhouse that's maybe similar to the clubhouse we have now, kind of maybe rustic looking? So it kind of, we did that with the suspension bridge when the bridge, swinging bridge, went down in the flood. We had a group that got together and said, you know, we can't build a new suspension bridge. There's no architect that would design a bridge that swings back and forth. But we can build something that is reminiscent of that bridge and is kind of a reminder of that bridge. And maybe we could do the same thing with the Wildwood Clubhouse potentially. So we'll see how that all goes. But I know there's a lot of people who say, oh, we can't, you know, lose that clubhouse. And I agree, it's a very historic building, but you can't save something that's unsavable.
Yeah, exactly.
My question is that building, or has it been, on the National Register of Historic Places?
The whole Wildwood Golf Course is on the Historic Register. And like Brian Young told us, just because it's on the Historic Register doesn't mean you can't do anything you want with it. The only thing that the Historic Register says is if you are going to use federal funds to restore the building, then you have to restore according to certain guidelines. But that building has had some new windows put in it, which are not historic, but they were needed to, you know, because the old windows were getting bad. So Yeah, because a lot of people bring that point up. Well, it's on the historic register. Well, that all that means is if you want to restore it and get federal grants and funds to restore it, then you have to restore it a certain way. Okay. So the Main Street Bridge is another example. It's on the historic register, but you know we've started looking into potentially at some point down the road replacing that bridge. And again, it is on the historic register, but if it's unsafe, and I'm not saying the bridge is I don't want to get that
rumor
started.
Don't open up that can of worms.
After 2008, I'm pretty sure that bridge can hold anything.
Yeah, I mean. But it is 100 years old too. And so, you know, John Fallis, our city engineer, said, you know, it's time to look at what we could do to replace that bridge, what the costs would be, how we would do it, where, you know, would you build it next to the old bridge while it's still standing, or, you know, whatever. It's just so we have that plan on the shelf, so if somewhere, you know, like right now, we've got a lot of these ARPA funds that are come in, you know, due to the pandemic, and we're not ready to do anything at this point. But if somewhere down the road there would be some type of windfall of, you know, federal money to replace bridges, we would have a plan on the shelf that we could say, you know, this bridge and this. But like I say, that's, you know, 10 years down the road probably.
And so, now we digress from Wildwood.
Yeah. Funny how that happens sometimes, isn't it? So the last thing I wanted to mention about the park and rec is the skate park. As you know, we took out the skate park out at Lions Field here a couple of years ago just because it was getting so, it was made out of wood and it was just falling apart. And it actually became a liability more than an amenity. And so we took that down and have since had a lot of questions and wondering, you know, can we build a new skate park? And so the Park and Rec Department put $10,000 in their budget this year to start saving money to eventually do a new skate park. Well, their chairperson, Jeff Otto, he says it's anonymous, but he has a group that's willing to put $20,000 to $30,000 into a new skate park. So that, with the $10,000 the Park and Rec has, that gives, you know, 20 to 30,000. Yeah, so 30 to 40. I got to do my math here. Yeah, that's early in the morning. Would have, you know, maybe, you know, 30,000 plus to do a skate park. No, that's not going to build you a new skate park. If you want a really nice, even a starter skate park, you're looking at probably in the $60,000 range. But we've been, Tyler Mitchell, our park and rec director, and myself have been working with a company out of Missouri that does skate parks, and they have features that you can buy that you can put in somewhere temporarily, that if you put them in here and you put about, you know, three or four features or four or five features, you can do that for about $30,000. And then those features, when you decide to do your real up-to-date modern skate park, can be moved to that, wherever that skate park is. They aren't permanent there. So it wouldn't be like you buy these and then you're going to say, well, there goes my $30,000 down the drain. No, they can be used at a later date. And so that's one thing the Park and Rec Board is looking at doing potentially this summer, even in somewhere in town. The question is where.
Yeah.
You know, the old skate park was pretty secluded down there, and a lot of those skating activities are, you know, the pool's in the same area, but it's, you go to the pool in the daytime. A lot of times you go to the skate park when it's, you know, dusk or later, and it's just kind of a really secluded area. So we'd like to make the skate park be much more visible than what it is now. So that's one thing the Park and Rec Board is looking at now. Where would be a location that they could put in these features that we could use them for the next few years until they have money to do a more elaborate skate park, but make it a place that, you know, kids are going to want to go. So
And feel safe.
You know, yeah.
Some folks, some parents, some kids might not feel that the current location is safe, you know, especially since it's so secluded.
Yeah. So. And I think the police department would probably tell you the same thing.
Probably, sure.
Yeah.
Good deal. Anything else to talk about today?
Well, I have one more thing on my list. You know, I always come in with a big list. And I'm on the mural committee. You know, we've got these two great murals that we did last summer. And so we're in the process now of getting our muralists set up for this summer. And we've got four locations picked out. One is behind the Rustic Corner and behind the theater on that wall that faces TLC. Tammy Vetter, the owner of the Rustic Corner, would like to have a mural back there. Another one is behind Saxy. It's kind of a smaller wall, but kind of a wall. And we're looking kind of at places that maybe aren't so, you know, these other ones that we did last year are just kind of right out there, which is great. But we also want some of the murals to be in kind of more behind the scenes areas, I guess. So you kind of have to go looking for the murals sometimes. So behind Saxony, Lisa Saxony would like to have a mural, and we're looking at that location. down along the riverfront where the Whitewater Course is, there's the wall that kind of faces the shoreline, I guess you'll call it, down there behind the library. And then if you go around the corner, there's a wall that faces the river. And so we're looking at somebody to do a mural on that wall down there. And then the fourth location is the Wisconsin Street Apartments there next to Trinity Methodist Church. They have a wall that faces the church there that if you start looking around when you're downtown, you can see that wall from a lot of places downtown. So those are our four locations. And we sent out a request for artists to make their proposals as far as, you know, who would like to do those. We kind of set out a fee for each of those walls, what we would pay for the walls. Last year we did the two walls. They were totally free to the owners of the buildings. This year we're going to charge the owners 10% of the cost. So it's still a really good bargain for somebody who wants to have a mural on their wall. But we're trying to get to the point where, you know, this will be an owner-driven project down the road. So still at 10%, a pretty good deal. So we got several requests, and we're going to have two local artists this year that we have signed up to do murals, and then two out-of-state artists that are going to do murals. So kind of a nice blend of local and out-of-town artists, which kind of gives us then that, you know, that we don't want every mural to look like the one that was done before. So this kind of keeps it so that we have all of our murals are going to be totally distinct and different. So really looking forward to that. The one artist we're working from out of town, we asked him, we'd really like to get this done before RAGBRAI if possible, because we're gonna have all these people here this summer. And he said, well, I think I could do it in June. So that's the only one we've really talked about a timeline for. So it'd be cool. And I think he's the one that we're thinking about using along the riverfront. And so that would be because I'm sure a lot of those RAGBRAI visitors will be down in that area. So it would be really cool to have at least one new mural by RAGBRAI time. But all of them said they could do them this before winter time comes. One of the local artists is maybe a little bit later in the year just because she's booked up with other projects. So
Well, good.
Looking forward to that.
That's exciting.
Can't wait to see those.
It's kind of fun. We are doing, we have to raise the money. Like I said, the owners are paying 10%, but the committee is raising the money. We've gotten some grants, but we do need fundraising to be done. So if you like the murals that you've seen so far from last year and want to see more of those, you can send a donation to the Art Center. And I was going to look up the Art Center's address, but I forgot to look that up. But it's on Jackson Street across from Central Park, if you know where the Art Center is. And so you can take your
301 North Jackson.
Hey, Chris, you are really good.
Yeah, people call me Google.
So 301 North Jackson, you can send your donation for the mural project. And, you know, whether that's a $5 donation or a $500 donation, we're taking all people who are interested. And like I say, I think it's been a really popular project. And so hopefully we'll hope that our residents will support that again, not only in spirit, but in dollars too.
Sure.
That's right. Brightens up Main Street, that's for sure. Well,
yes.
Thank you very much, Dean, for joining us, and we'll talk to you next month.
Great. Sounds good.
Hopefully
it'll be 70s.
Maybe it'll be warm by then. Yeah, it'll be hopefully 70s by then. We'll see. It's 8:25. We have your North Iowa weather coming up.